American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the American Journal. Third hour is on. I'm very happy to be joined by Brianna Morello. She's the host of the Brianna Morello Show on Rumble. And she joins us today live from Milwaukee at the Republican National Convention. You can follow Brianna on X at Brianna Morello, BriannaMorello.com, and on Rumble. Again, the show is called The Brianna Morello Show. Brianna, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Harrison.
Very happy to have you. What is it like there on the ground at the RNC? Last night was great. I loved it. The first night I was a little bit wary. The second night seemed like a total party. What's the atmosphere like there?
It is. It does feel like a party, and that's the crazy part in all of this. I didn't think it was going to feel like this, but everyone compares this to the Super Bowl, but for the RNC, and so that's exactly kind of the mood here. Everyone is just kind of enjoying the moment and enjoying all the speeches. We have a bunch of great speakers coming up as well for today, and last night was incredible, like you said. I enjoyed last night more than I enjoyed the first night as well.
Yep.
I think it was a better group of speakers, and we heard more from average Americans, and I think that's really important.
Absolutely. And I mean, it seems like they ran through the roster last night, Vivek and Ben Carson and Ron DeSantis. And I mean, who else is left to speak? Who's speaking tonight? Do you know?
It's supposed to be J.D. Vance, and it's also supposed to be Peter Navarro. Peter Navarro just being released from Miami prison today, and he's supposed to be making his way. So he's expected to speak to them with a soul. So we'll see how that goes. But that would be really exciting to hear from him because, of course, he is a political prisoner.
Yeah, what an amazing going from federal prison to a stage in front of millions of people. What an incredible day he'll be having today. That's wild. Is there anything that's happening? I guess it might be hard for you to tell, but one of the things that tends to happen at conventions is what we're seeing on the screen might not be the same as what we're seeing, what you're seeing there on the ground. You know, sometimes somebody will give up and give a speech, and then somebody else will post a cell phone video from the floor, and it's like, actually, this person got booed a lot, and you just didn't hear it on screen. Is anybody getting booed up there? I didn't hear anybody get booed, but then I saw some behind-the-scenes stuff that maybe Nikki Haley didn't get the warmest reception. What's been the – did anything stand out to you? Anything happen that maybe we didn't catch if we were just watching it from home?
I think it's been pretty fair so far. I think mostly the crowd has been pretty positive and pretty excited to see a lot of these people come on stage. Nikki Haley, I get it. Most don't like her. There was kind of a mixed response when she did get on stage. But I think most people are just happy and they're just kind of positive. You know, what happened over the weekend has kind of changed the tone of all of this. Obviously, the assassination attempt against President Trump has a lot of people both on edge, but also just extremely just probably less more confrontational than expected. I was expecting to see protesters here. I haven't seen really any. And I know someone said there was a small group of them. I've seen a large group. I think they said in the thousands. Haven't seen those folks here.
Actually,
so it's been pretty calm. Basically.
You know, since you brought it up, on the first night, there was a protest, and we covered it yesterday because the reports were 1,000 show up, and then the reality was it was maybe a couple hundred. Last night, we actually have footage here. We can go to my screen. There was one protester. There was one single protester outside the venue. And of course, this was posted with people asking, gee, the Democrats aren't funding protests like they used to. I mean, you would expect there to be big crowds protesting this event, as there almost always is. But I guess they haven't been told to do that, so they aren't doing it.
Yeah. She was a strange one. There are some, you know, lone ones who are kind of walking around. But yeah, it's not what I expected. You know, I saw like an ad where there was supposed to be 10,000 here. And I mean, like you said, it's been like maybe a couple of hundred, but I didn't even run into those people. So I don't know if it's well-funded at this point. Or maybe we just bought up all the hotel space and so there's no reason for them to come here now because they don't have any space to shack up at.
Maybe.
But it's been interesting to kind of see play out. I think it's honestly, I mean, there were two reports. Obviously, there was a shooting yesterday about a mile out of the perimeter from the arena. That one really didn't have anything to do with politics. And then there was another one as well. So, sorry, it wasn't a shooting. It was an arrest of an individual accused of having a gun. So it's really been kind of low profile, though. There really hasn't been much else.
Well, thank goodness for that, although there's still time. So we'll see. We'll be back on the other side. We're going to take a really quick break, 60 seconds. We'll be back with Brianna Morello on the other side. She joins us live from the floor of the RNC there in Milwaukee. You know, working at InfoWars, you hear a lot of negative things about your place of work. One of the things they like to say about our supplements is we're snake oil salesmen. Well, folks, it ain't snake oil. It's fish oil, and it's incredibly good for you. Ultimate Fish Oil is now on sale, back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. If you only take one supplement, it's likely that's fish oil. It's probably the most popular supplement on Earth at this point for very good reason. People realize how good it is for them, and this is the best stuff on the market. Studies suggest that fish oils and fish oil supplements can slightly lower blood pressure, decrease the growth rate of plaque, and prevent cognitive decline. So whether you're a first-time fish oil shopper or whether you're somebody who has taken fish oil for a while and is looking for the best quality available, go to InfoWarsStore.com today and get Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. It's going to sell out fast because that's what happens when you have fantastic products. Help us fight the global agenda and also improve your health with fish oil. InfoWarsStore.com.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Keep my hands on myself. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The American Journal. Brianna Morello joins me from Milwaukee. She's at the RNC there on the floor. It feels like, Brianna, we haven't had a normal convention since, I don't know, the Obama years. 2016 was so insane with Bernie Sanders getting screwed over and the DNC like having noise machines to drown out their boos and Hillary Clinton doing the face with the balloons. I mean, that was crazy. And Trump, I mean, everything was topsy-turvy. Obviously, 2020, there wasn't even a convention to speak of. And then this year, with this assassination attempt mere days before the convention started, it seems like the whole atmosphere is like elevated somehow. I mean, that's the sense I'm getting from watching it remotely. Is that what's happening there on the ground? I mean, when you see Trump's face, when it cuts to him, you know, when the speakers are talking, he's got this like blissful smile on his face that I don't know. It makes him look like he's almost on drugs. He's just got this like thousand yard stare where he's just smiling. And the atmosphere from far away seems like, I don't know how to describe it, like very uplifting. Is that how it feels there on the ground?
Yeah, I mean, it's very uplifting. It's very positive. Everyone just seems to be in sync together and understand that this is the fight for our country that we need right now, and everyone needs to be on board. You know, I know a lot of people are critical of certain people, maybe J.D. Vance. There's a lot of things that people are pointing out about him. But here at the convention, no one's really talking about that. And the reason for that is everyone's on the same page. Nobody wants to sit there and go after and beat down and kind of, you see it on social media, there's a lot of divisiveness. Not here. That's the best way to describe it. Everyone's very friendly. Everyone's very happy to be here. And everyone's trying to figure out the best way to save this country. And they're all doing so in Milwaukee this week.
Yeah. And it seems like even the, you know, Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis, these people that were really going for, you know, Trump's throat back during the primaries, you know, they gave speeches, but it didn't have the feeling of like, defeated enemies genuflecting in front of, you know, their victor. It really did have the feeling of like of camaraderie and like, look, we ran, we lost, and now it's time to get together and back Trump. It all seemed very sincere. So that's certainly coming across.
Yeah, it sounds like Nikki Haley is trying to get a cabinet position, and it's unfortunate because I wouldn't want her in the cabinet. But it looked like that. And, Ron DeSantis has been very supportive of him. I know he did run against the president, and a lot of people thought that was very controversial, but he's always been supportive from a distance. And I think people kind of were upset with him because they were more hurt at the fact that he wanted to run against the president. But it's a primary. Those things happen. But he's been helping the president with some fundraising, and it was exciting to see him here at the convention speaking. He gave a great speech, I thought. And, you know, he's backing the president. That's what we need right now. Now, Nikki Haley, I thought DeSantis was very authentic, but Nikki Haley, I think she's just more so competing for a cabinet position at this point. And so I think she lacks authenticity. I can't even speak now. Joe Biden is contagious. but yes, so I thought it was great. And I cringe when I see Nikki Haley getting on the stage. But the good news is I think MSNBC put up a lineup of all of the Republicans that weren't here or aren't going to be here at all. And it was everyone that we hate, you know, the Paul Ryans, the Bushes. It was a great lineup of people. Pence, for example, not going to be here. So that gave me a little bit of a smile on my face. These people know that they're not welcome here.
Yeah, well, even Mitch McConnell got booed on the floor there on the first day. I saw that video. So they might know they're not so welcome in the Trump Republican Party these days.
Yeah, well, rightfully so. We've had enough of all this nonsense. And here, right now, and I'll actually cite the Nikki Haley speech that she gave last night. She said that we want a president that ends wars and doesn't start wars. Now, if anyone knows Nikki Haley, that doesn't sound anything like her. Of course, she loves her wars. And so
Right.
maybe she's either have a different tone, or I mean, I don't think she's changed her belief at all. We've all saw how she speaks out about Israel and the aggression there. So yeah, it was interesting to see. But again, I think that these people know that they're not welcome here. The Republican Party's completely shifted, and it's shifting in the right direction. It's shifting in a direction that we need for this country right now. And I hope, when the president wins, I'm sure he's going to win. I really hope we remember everything that took place, because last weekend was obviously a very emotional weekend for him. But I want him to remember that, because remember, this is the same guy who was also talking about building a new headquarters for the FBI and where it should be built. And for many, we don't believe that the FBI headquarters should be built at all at this point, and that it should either be defunded or dismantled. And there's a lot of issues there. So we're hoping that maybe this might create a fire in his belly, let's say.
Yeah, and look, even if they are making these statements, like if Nikki Haley comes out and says, we want people that don't start wars, like obviously, I think anybody that knows her knows that that's an insincere statement, but the fact that she's making it, means that we are leading the party now, right? The anti-war people are sort of forcing the pro-war people to say our talking points instead of conforming to them. So, even if it is a sort of cynical political thing, it represents the sea change that's taking place, and they're having to conform to it, and they can't resist it. So it's good news regardless. Now, of course, the best thing from my perspective, and probably from yours as well, about the convention is just the number of powerful or influential or important or interesting people that are gathered that you get to talk to and ask questions of. I know you posted yesterday, day two with the RNC. You interviewed Luke Radowski and Savannah Hernandez and Jim Jordan and people from the Mug Club, from Ladder with Crowder. So just a ton of awesome people that you're getting to talk to. What are some of the good conversations you've had? What have you learned? What about from Jim Jordan? What did he have to say about the assassination attempt in particular?
Yeah, so I asked him the tough questions, because I feel like we've got to ask those questions now. What is Congress going to do? Because obviously, and he kind of alluded to it as well, the FBI is now leading the investigation into that assassination attempt. And many of us don't actually trust the FBI. We've been paying attention for the last, let's just say, 4 years. So we're not too thrilled with them leading this investigation right now. And he's understanding of that. And he believes that Congress is also going to have to lead an investigation. He cited that Christopher Wray is going to be brought in front of Congress to testify sometime soon this month, I believe, later this month. And so that will be when he kind of gets some answers there. But again, Congress constantly asks these questions, and they give them, these great sound bites. They give us these great sound bites, but there's no follow up. Constantly, we hear power of the purse, all these things to get us to the midterms, and then all of a sudden, Republicans just lose that spine for some reason. So we'll see if it leads to anything. But we really need, Congress is the only hope we have right now to lead a legitimate investigation into this, because the FBI is not going to do so. Secret Service is already getting folks to stop speaking and kind of telling them that they have to be quiet. They cannot talk to certain people, even their fellow colleagues who were not there that day. Those agents that were there that day were hearing are not allowed to speak to others that were not there. So, again, this is just them trying to hush everyone up and try to bury this. But, I also asked some other questions regarding, whether the Secret Service director should resign. And he's not very happy with her, obviously. But again, no real direct answer there. We all know that Joe Biden's not going to fire her. We all know no one's going to fire this woman. She's going to keep her job because everyone's afraid to fire a DEI hire. And so it puts us in a really unfortunate situation where we have somebody who's incompetent, who's proven they're incompetent, now controlling one of the most important agencies in our country. And again, doesn't really have to answer to any questions. So there's that. Now, speaking of answering any questions, Savannah Hernandez, you mentioned her. We had her on the show yesterday. And man, she is a shark. She actually confronted CNN yesterday, and it was incredible. I mean, this girl is amazing. She went after Jake Tapper, Dana, and so many of these other, Chris Wallace as well was in the group, and kind of just like went after them, was just asking them tough questions that they didn't want to answer. And so it was refreshing to have her on, but she's over here. She's doing great work. But I think that's what's important. I kind of highlighted this on the show yesterday. We have the corporate media hacks here at the convention, and they're getting a beat down from a lot of the independent journalists, because for so long they've been able to kind of stay on their platform and be in this cushy little space and not have to deal with answering real questions because they failed to do actual journalism. But then we have all these great journalists who are here now, and they're not afraid to confront them. You know, I know Savannah was waiting patiently for her moment, and she did a great job at that. And she even confronted MSNBC anchor too, Kristen Walker, I believe her last name is. And so they're just doing great work. There are so many people here doing great work, and I think that's important to highlight as well.
Oh, of course. Yeah, absolutely wonderful. In fact, I didn't get to watch that video. Let's go to that video because it's only about a minute long. And I saw she posted it, and I pulled it in. I was going to wait because we're hoping to have her on later this week to report live as well. And I was going to save it for that, but you brought it up. So let's go to it now and see Savannah Hernandez confronting the CNN team. This is clip number 17. Let's watch.
Hi, y'all. I was just wondering, you guys refused to report on the incompetence of Joe Biden. And I was just wondering if you guys were told not to report on that, or if you guys really were that ignorant. The entire American public, for some reason, was able to see that Joe Biden was grossly incompetent and that he's been in cognitive decline for a long time. However, you guys just started reporting this. Dana, can I ask you about this? Dana, you're a respected reporter. Why is it that you guys just started to report on the decline of Joe Biden? Don't you feel like you have a responsibility to the public?
Buzzing her ass, she in like a bumblebee.
About the cognitive decline of Joe Biden?
It gets better. It gets so much better.
Sir, I'm here with CNN. I can't get very close to them because their security guard is blocking me. But we've got Jake Tapper here. We've got Chris Wallace. We also have Dana Bash. Now, I've been asking them why they have been lying to the American public about the mental decline of Joe Biden. None of you guys would like to respond to that at all? No? Dana, you're a very respected journalist. Jake, not so much respected, but people listen to you still. Would any of you guys like to respond to Joe Biden's cognitive decline and why you guys lied to the American people about it for so long? Can you please take your hands off of it? So there you guys go. That's the media.
Well,
they refuse to answer the questions of the American people.
Savannah Hernandez graduated from the Alex Jones School of Journalism, and it's on display there. I love it. Her sweet voice. Hey, you ignorant liars. She sounds so nice. It's fantastic. It's wonderful to see. So is there this big divide? Is there contention? I mean, what's the attitude behind the scenes? You know, again, I look back to 2016, and I remember, you know, Alex Jones storming onto the Young Turk set, and it was contentious, but it was wild and fun and chaotic. And Is that the feeling behind the scenes? How are the mainstream and independent reporters dealing with each other?
Yeah, so it's not so chaotic. But again, I mean, there's so many, like Taylor Hansen's another one. Yep. He's an independent journalist and he's clashing with them as well. So there's that. But they brought security, so you're not going to get too close to them. But it's just the independent reporters are going after the corporate media hacks. And I think that's perfect because you need to hold them accountable. And this is the perfect situation to do so. This was so epic, actually. He was behind me a little while. Now it's Speaker Mike Johnson behind me. But he actually was just behind me a little while ago, too. And it's just interesting to see people confront them. I know Alex Stein was here and confronted him as well. But yeah, it's so funny to see all of this play out because they usually could just hide behind their corporate media desk and just not have to answer any of these hard questions. But they've been lying to the American people for years. And so how much longer are we going to continue to tolerate this? How much longer are we going to continue to deal with this? They still think they have credibility. I don't think they have credibility. You know, Savannah Hernandez actually has a larger following than most of these individuals on CNN, MSNBC. And so I think the tides are kind of changing here. And it's interesting to see play out, but it's not so divisive, but I think everyone understands what's going on here.
Well, look, there's so many interesting things as to what you just brought up. You know, the followings. Look at Don Lemon. Don Lemon gets fired from CNN. He can't scrape together 100 people to watch his live streams. This guy was like the number one news reporter for the entirety of Trump's presidency. Nobody cares about him the instant he's not being propped up by CNN. So the facade of the mainstream media has sort of collapsed. And these people, nobody would listen to them. They would not be popular if not for the mainstream media propping them up. And that's what's being revealed. And look, back in 2017, I mean, or 2016, you had Alex Jones running around, you know, causing a ruckus and being this outlandish and fun pundit. But that was pretty much it in terms of like well-respected, hugely watched independent reporters. Now there's you, there's Savannah, there's Alex Stein, there's Taylor Hansen. This represents really the sea change, the tidal shift in where we're getting our coverage from, who's being listened to, who is telling the stories from the RNC. It used to be nothing but mainstream media. Now mainstream media is, as you said, getting the verbal beat down and getting shown up by these independent reporters. I mean, this is sort of a hallmark event in the new media landscape, isn't it?
It is, and it's incredible to see play out. You know, I always say independent journalists will save America, and it's mainly because we don't have a higher authority above us telling us what to do, what to report on, and how to angle our stories. And I think that's what's so important here. You know, we're watching it play out all the time in front of our own faces. I don't think people realize how important it is to have independent journalists. You know, I've had the pleasure of working with Rumble this week, and I've been using the Rumble set, but it's interesting to see all of these other independent journalists kind of make their way into the Rumble set. And so we have this unique platform with, you know, X and now Rumble out there, not censoring us and giving us this kind of stage to go out there and kind of platform our own work without having to deal with anyone telling us what to say. And now you're getting the unfiltered take on a lot of these things. And so I think that's really important to highlight. And it's interesting because, again, certain people will angle stories a certain way when you work with the corporate media. But here you're going to get like the most raw reporting possible, because most of these journalists who, not all of them, some of the independent ones are a little, not so credible. But most of us are very credible, and we do our work because we know better. And so we don't want to discredit anyone's trust in us. And so that's why we're working hard to get all those interviews. And so I've got a couple of good ones lined up with a couple of great politicians. You know, I don't usually refer to politicians as great, but we've only got about five of them. So I'll be speaking with them later this week.
Oh, excellent. Give us a preview. Who you got lined up? I mean, no spoilers. I don't want you to, you know, if you can't tell us, you can't tell us. But who are you looking forward to talking to?
Well, Senator Tommy Tuberville made a very interesting comment on Fox News just a couple of days ago, and I wanted to follow up with it. He told Maria Bartiromo that there was that everyone in the Senate knows that Joe Biden's not running this country. He said it was Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama. But it's interesting because, like, you and I say that and it's fine. But it's like hearing someone, a politician who's kind of in all of this, say that is extremely alarming, because, again, no one else has had the guts to say that out loud. So I'm going to ask him about that. I want to ask him specifically, how does he know that's happening? Because we speculate, but apparently he knows it enough to get in front of a camera and say that. And so there wasn't much follow-up on that question. I want to do the follow-up. So I'm going to be asking you specifically, what have you seen? What have you heard? And why did you come to that conclusion? Because, again, you could speculate, but it didn't sound like speculation. It sounded like he was saying, this is actually what's going on right now in our country.
Wow. And that, yeah. That, I guess, is another one of my questions, because one of the things I was sort of disappointed in the first night is it almost seemed like Republicans acted like they were running for re-election. They just kept talking about how great the economy was under Trump and how wonderful. And part of me was like, all right, do they not get we're under attack? Where's the intensity? Where's the fire? Where's the, you know, last stand at Helm's Deep? Like, where is this attitude of like, we have to win for the sake of our country? I didn't see that the first night. I saw it more the second night with some of these speeches. But overall, there on the ground, the attitude is – are people appropriately intense? Are they appropriately, you know, aware of how serious the trouble that we're in is? Obviously, it's a party and it's a convention. It's unity. Yeah. It's everybody coming together and positive vibes. But are those positive vibes backed up by like the seriousness that they need to be?
Yeah, I think so. So every time I'm, you know, meeting new people and going to these events, it seems to be the tone. Everyone understands that this is about saving country. And if we don't do this time around, it's not even fear-mongering at this point. It's a serious issue. If we don't win this presidency, well, our country's gone. And there's no other way to describe it. It's not fear-mongering. It's that, you know, this looks like a celebration. It looks like it's a lot of fun, but everyone understands what's going on here. And so I think that's the reason why everyone's a little less critical this time around when it comes to these elected officials, because we can nitpick all we want. You know, a lot of people, like we mentioned earlier, J.D. Vance, aren't really fond of him because he's made previous comments about President Trump. But I actually like it. So If for your audience, if they're not familiar, there are comments that were made by J.D. Vance previously that he didn't like Trump. I believe he referred to once the Nazi, and other comments were made. But he has since gone back and said, you know, my opinion of him has changed since I've seen him leave this country. And I do think he did a great job, was one of our best presidents. I think it's important because I think a lot of people didn't like President Trump at first because it was a little rough, his comments. They didn't like it. And now they're actually, you know, going with him, and especially Democrats. It was interesting to see, you know, after the assassination attempt, you know, people saw him get up after he was almost shot in the head or was shot in the ear instead, but saw him stand up and say, fight, fight, fight. How do you not vote for that guy?
Right.
And I think that's a lot of people are like looking, when you're comparing, we have a guy who can't even walk up a set of stairs. And then you have a man who takes a bullet to the head and somehow is able to get up and tell you all to keep fighting and don't stop. And I think that really shows where we are as a country right now, embarrassing as that is. But everyone gets that. I mean, if we can't win to the man who can't even, you know, battle a staircase, then we're really in a bad situation here.
Right. Yeah, there's a comic somebody drew that was just the comparison of Secret Service telling Trump, get down, and telling Biden, get up, Biden's tripping over himself and Trump's trying to get back to the podium after being shot in the head. It could not be a more clear. Now, let me ask you this, behind the scenes, what is the chatter about the assassination? Obviously, everybody's thrilled that it failed, but I mean, the information that's coming out, it is wild. And it seems like the more we learn, the more questions we have. Are people there, you know, behind the scenes? What are they saying about the assassination? Are they thinking it was a setup, a deep state thing? What's the water cooler talk there at the RNC?
Well, that's the interesting part, right? So no one's going to go on air and say that they think it was actual setup because they don't have enough evidence of it. But I'm pretty, at this point, and even from day one, strong on that one, where I believe it was a setup, because it's very obvious, right? We had the Secret Service come out yesterday and give a garbage statement regarding slopes. And that was the reason why they didn't have somebody on that rooftop. We're also finding out other reports that the shooter was there for over 27 minutes is what we heard. And they knew about it for over 27 minutes and they did nothing. They didn't pull the president off the stage. I mean, that would have been the easiest solution to it, right? You don't have to shoot him. You just got to pull the president off the stage. And that's the best way to handle it at the time. Although I think if it's somebody who's not supposed to be there and you have a crowd of people, you probably should have shot him as soon as you got the chance. But again, we don't know. I know there's a lot of people speculating regarding whether Secret Service was the one holding back that call to shoot. We're still waiting to hear about that. But it's not going to be a report that comes from the FBI or from Secret Service that we're going to figure this all out. It's going to be leaks because they're going to want to bury this as much as they can. You know, I remember actually, Harrison, I remember you and Alex and Owen going on Steven Crowder's show the night of the first debate, and the first thing Alex said was, they're gonna try to kill Trump. Yeah. And you know, everyone was like, that's crazy, but he was right. And I mean, it sounds crazy, but that was the final thing that they had left their sleeve was to kill Trump. And it was because Biden did so horribly during the debate, they can no longer prosecute him. The Supreme Court ruling came in, he has immunity, and so now this is it. And I think people thought that comment was a little over the mark, but it was spot on. And we're watching it all play out. And here people are quietly saying, you know, yes, I do believe Secret Service probably intentionally did this at this point, because it's very obvious that this wasn't just, you know, incompetency. I mean, look at him. His head shouldn't have been exposed at all. It's how do you have, I mean, for an example, okay, I'm a female, obviously. We should not be guarding the president of the United States. I know he's a former president, but he's going to be probably the next president of the United States. If you're not 6 foot plus and you can't tower over him, you shouldn't be guarding him. Obviously, these women were poorly trained. They were not able to even holster a weapon. So again, it feels like they gave him not the best team of Secret Service agents to be there. Plus, they allowed a shooter, an armed man, to stand there on a rooftop and sit there on the rooftop with a weapon. And apparently no one knew. Now, I've gone to a lot of these rallies too, and I should note, I constantly see drones in the air, and you're constantly seeing drones in the air, and that's Secret Service drones. So again, none of this makes any sense. As soon as the shooting happened, I said, and we saw the rooftop, I said, well, how'd there be somebody on the roof? If you're at any of these rallies and you look up in the air, there's multiple drones in the air, and it's all run by our government. And so none of this made any sense, how this individual was able to get up there and stay up there for that long.
Yeah, so many questions still to be answered. And it seems like the more we learn, the more questions we have. I'm glad people at the RNC and behind the scenes are treating this, again, with the seriousness it deserves. And man, just everything they do backfires on them so massively. It is amazing to see. What a glorious time to be alive. Brandon Morello is there on the ground at the RNC doing incredible interviews. You can find them on X at Brandon Morello, BrandonMorello.com, and on Rumble at the Brandon Morello Show. Thanks for joining us once again, Brandon.
Thank you, Harrison. Always a pleasure.
Police have tracked down a killer whose crimes spanned the country. The man accused of killing a Maryland mother of five on a popular hiking trail has been captured in Oklahoma. Rachel Marin was dragged from a hiking trail in Maryland where she was raped and murdered. Hernandez allegedly has ties to the notorious MS-13 gang and entered the country illegally in February of last year.
The sheriff says that he fled to the U.S. illegally after murdering a woman in El Salvador in January of 2023. Just 1 month before he entered the U.S. last year, Interpol issued an arrest warrant for Hernandez.
We are 1,800 miles away from the southern border, and the American citizens are not safe because of failed immigration policies. This is the second time in just 2 years that an innocent Harford County woman has lost her life to a criminal in our country illegally.
As far as I'm concerned, the Biden administration has the blood of Rachel Warren in their hands.
Two officers were shot overnight. The suspect also shot in the exchange of gunfire.
Police also saying that suspect Bernardo Raul Castro Mata currently resides at a migrant shelter not too far away from here.
Christian Inga was arraigned today in New York City on charges of sexually assaulting a 13-year-old girl after school last week in a shocking daylight attack. Police say the 25-year-old migrant from Ecuador approached two teens in the park at knife point. According to the criminal complaint, the suspect tied the boy and girl to one another, gagged them, then raped the girl before fleeing the scene. Police say Inga entered the U.S. illegally through Eagle Pass, Texas, back in 2021.
We've also learned from law enforcement here in New York that Christian Ingalandi was actually ordered to go back to Ecuador just a year later in 2022. Had he been deported, we may not have this case that has really struck a chord with people here in New York City, but even people around the country.
A Venezuelan gang known as Tren de Aragua has victimized thousands through extortion, drug and human trafficking, kidnapping and murder. And now U.S. law enforcement, including Customs and Border Protection and the FBI, say the gang has made their way into the country.
U.S. Border Patrol Chief Jason Owens, who has confirmed multiple arrests of alleged Tren de Aragua members over the last year, issued a warning in early April after reporting yet another arrest. Watch out for this gang, he said. It is the most powerful in Venezuela, known for murder, drug trafficking, sex crimes, extortion, and other violent acts.
Today, an illegal immigrant who killed someone in Troy is set to be sentenced. Carlos Corrales Ramirez pleaded guilty to the deadly stabbing last month. He admitted to killing a man near River and Dow Streets last September. The Honduras native was also charged with a stabbing in Maryland last February. He was arrested for that crime, but was later released because Maryland officials never extradited him.
Eight individuals, all from the Central Asian country of Tajikistan, were arrested in Los Angeles, New York, and Philadelphia. They entered the United States this year and in 2023, crossing the Mexican border. They were vetted and allowed to remain in the country. CBS News has learned further investigation uncovered the men had possible ties to ISIS-K.
Five men in the U.S. illegally were arrested Monday morning in Northeast Missouri after a teenage girl was reported missing in Indiana. The suspects are accused of kidnapping the 14-year-old from her home. They were tracked down in Macon County. All five of these men are charged with second-degree kidnapping and first-degree endangering the welfare of a child.
Developments in the brutal abduction and murder of a 12-year-old Texas girl whose body was found dumped in a bayou. Police arrested 21-year-old Johan Jose Rangel Martinez and 26-year-old Franklin Jose Pena Ramos, both illegal migrants from Venezuela. Surveillance video appeared to show both men with the girl just hours before she was found dead. Both men have been charged with capital murder, critics blaming Jocelyn's death on President Biden's border policies.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
So I'm going to go out to your calls here momentarily. I want to play another video. It's a little bit longer, but I think it's worth it to play the whole thing. Yesterday we covered Destiny, the streamer, who I think is sort of the only honest liberal with a platform. Liberals know not to express what they really think because they know that it makes them seem like unhinged lunatics most of the time. And so they couch their disturbing beliefs in language that we don't find objectionable. Destiny doesn't bother with any of that and just says what many of them are thinking. So we appreciate that. He went on Piers Morgan and was utterly demolished by Piers for his blatant and egregious hypocrisy. And I was thinking about this, and I don't know how to express it as much. Just going back to the whole controversy of, like, you know, Home Depot employees being fired because they posted on Facebook, like, hope he gets them next time. I'm just glad they got at least one Trump supporter. Hopefully they'll get more next time. Like, yeah, when you call for mass murder on social media, maybe expect a backlash to that. And this is the thing. The left is always saying, well, you have free speech, but you're not free from consequences. Of course, the consequences they mean is like if you wear a Make America Great Again hat to a baseball game and somebody takes a picture of you, then you'll lose your career of 30 years, right? Which is insane and egregious. But I think if you call for violence on your fellow Americans in an open and public way, you need to be made an example of. People need to know that this is not okay. Legally, I don't think there can be anything done unless you're actually, you know, imminently calling for violence. We do have free speech in this country as not just a law, but a principle. But obviously, some things are not included in that, including calls for violence and, you know, child material, that sort of stuff. I mean, there are things that, like, free speech is not an absolute. There's a reason that we have free speech, and it's so ideas can be spread. It's so thoughts and concepts and perspectives can be shared without limitation. Nothing thoughtful is being shared when you're just saying that everybody should die. This does not damage free speech to have companies say, oh, we're going to let you go because you called for the death of like half of our customer base. Like, yeah, that makes sense to me. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's a hypocrisy on the left. It's just massive, massive hypocrisy and it's all predicated on lies. And that's really the thing that you need to understand is that because they believe these insane lies, they think it gives them justification to do or say what they say and do. But they are lies. So I'll explain it here, but you'll see. You'll see, you know, Destiny say, it's fine for me to do this because January 6th was an insurrection. Like, no, it wasn't. That's a lie. But the lie gets embedded, and now it becomes an excuse for them to actually do something or encourage or support violence. So let's go to Piers Morgan just obliterating Destiny here and watch Destiny's face as he talks. It looks like the demon that's possessing him is trying to escape through his chin. It's very strange. Let's go now to Destiny versus Piers Morgan.
Yeah, but when you are in a world where
conservatives can say anything.
No, I'm not a conservative.
They can have any conspiracy theory.
I'm not a conservative.
They can have any plot. They can do anything. And then liberals are supposed to sit here and be like, God, it's so tragic.
No, Destiny.
Absolutely not.
Let me explain.
Absolutely.
Let me explain my position, because I'm not a conservative. I'm not on either side in your race, right? Here's what I think about what you did. You'd like to fire off, as you've done so far in this debate, about your fury at how disgusting Republicans are, how inhumane they are, how they never have any empathy, blah, 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 blah. And then you yourself actually are exactly the person that you're describing. You are inhuman. You are somebody who seems almost gleeful that a young firefighter with a family, with a wife and children, who he was protecting as he was shot dead, that he deserved what was coming to him because he went to a President Trump rally, a man who was President of the United States until recently for 4 years and maybe again. You sound almost gleeful, Destin, and I'm sorry, that makes you, frankly, despicable.
I don't think I'm gleeful about anything. I don't think anybody should die. I don't think anybody deserves to die. But you want to talk about gleeful? Look at the conservative response to Pelosi's husband when they broke in.
I can answer that.
The reality is that conservatives have been turning the temperature up on the rhetoric. They have been making fun of these types of events for years. And now when something happens to them, now they're looking for sympathy from the liberal side? Absolutely not. It's insane. Right. It's unhinged that you can conduct yourself in such a manner
and
expect people to feel sorry when things happen.
Why should anybody on the right listen to a word of your hectoring and lecturing about how they should behave? And by the way, for the record, the mockery of Nancy Pelosi's husband when he was attacked by an intruder with a hammer was also despicable, right? I can see despicable behavior on all sides, and I'm happy to call it out when I see it. You, however, want to present yourself as this great kind of standard bearer of decency who sees outrageous behavior on the right time and again and is incensed by this disgusting, inhumane behavior. Since the attempted assassination of Donald Trump, you have displayed exactly the same kind of inhumane behavior. Kim, about a fireman who is killed because he attends a rally of a guy he wants to vote for.
My issue with the MAGA kids is not that they are not empathetic. My issue is that they support a president that led an insurrection against the United States. I'm not here to tone police over their empathy.
18 million people voted for Donald Trump last time around.
That's great. 80 million people voted for a guy that tried to insurrect the government, and it looks like they might try to do it again. I mean, like, I don't know what you want me to say. These are the facts on the ground. The idea that
you don't like attacks on democracy. So presumably you would unreservedly condemn the attempted assassination of Donald Trump, because that's one of the most egregious attacks on American democracy in modern times. Presumably, you will take this opportunity, given you are so determined to protect the integrity of democracy, you would find it absolutely outrageous that someone has tried to assassinate a president, right?
If the other conservatives on this show want to say that it was absolutely outrageous that Donald Trump attempted to coup the government, then I would. Yeah, no, I'm not going to get on my knees and beg for forgiveness or show sympathy to conservatives.
I'm asking you to condemn what happened as an egregious attack on democracy. Can you do that?
No, I won't. No, I won't.
You can't do that. You see, so why the hell, frankly, Destiny, why the hell should we listen to a word you have to say?
Wait, hold on. Why do you think conservatives haven't been listening to a word that liberals have said about anything for 8 years?
Right, what
do you think
is going to
change? You think if liberals
point,
come out
Destiny.
Now and they go, oh my God, this was so horrible.
But here's
my
point.
Go, wow, that is true.
Charlie, I'll bring you in at the end of this, I promise you, and you'll get a good chance to respond. But here's my problem, Destiny, with your whole position on this, right, is that you don't actually have anything inside you that you want the other side to have. You don't have any of the empathy. You don't have any sympathy. You don't care that someone tried to assassinate Donald Trump. You don't care that a young fireman with a family was killed in the process. You are not the person you want these other people to be. And all you do is play whataboutery with every question I give you. And I'm just startled.
It's not whataboutery. We're talking about Donald Trump. We're talking about the temperature of this country. But here's a question for the two panelists. What percentage of this event happening was due to Donald Trump's rhetoric? What do they think the answer to that question is?
What percentage could it be that the other side, we've just heard from Dave Rubin, has spent 8 years calling Donald Trump the new Adolf Hitler, a person who was responsible for the murder of 12 million people, including 6 million Jewish people, in a Holocaust? Last time I checked, Donald Trump hasn't murdered 12 million people. So much as you would like him to be the new Hitler, he's not. But again, to an impressionable young deranged mind who has easy access to guns, that can be easily interpreted as an existential threat, said President Biden. Somebody that needs to be put in the bullseye, said Biden.
Okay,
only last week. And
guess what?
Somebody then comes forward and tries to kill the existential threat.
You are inhuman. Piers Morgan streamer get into heated discussion over repulsive Trump assassination comments. Yeah, but you know, Trump tried to do insurrection. So, you know, now I get to laugh about and encourage and celebrate his supporters being murdered in cold blood. Yeah, these are the people that we're up against. I don't know. That might not be the right word. They look like people, but I think there might be something else entirely. We'll get more into it on the other side and take your calls in our final segment. Stay with us. InfoWarsStore.com. Support us there.
Survival Shield X3 is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, there are several reasons why you should be considering this product. Frankly, not even considering it, just getting it at InfoWarsStore.com. First of all, we know that nascent iodine supports thyroid health. Now, our thyroid is responsible for several things associated with our health, namely detoxifying, purifying the body, and eliminating the chemicals that we're exposed to, whether they're chemicals in our air, or chemicals in our water, or chemicals in our food. Nascent iodine is key in giving our body and our thyroid the strength and power that it needs to detoxify these terrible chemicals from the way that we are exposed to them in the environment. Now, not only is this nascent iodine incredible for our thyroids, but X3 is specifically designed to be as effective as possible because Survival Shield X3 includes three different types of iodine for one specific reason: to ensure bioavailability. We know that different people have different genes. Some genes are more prone to being able to absorb nascent iodine than others. So we've included three different types of nascent iodine in Survival Shield X3 to ensure that your body is able to absorb and integrate at least one of them into your functioning so that you can be as efficient and healthy as possible. Now, it's not only important to buy Survival Shield X3 because it does things like support thyroid health or because it does things like support detoxification or the enhanced bioavailability, but also because by getting this product, Survival Shield X3, from InfoWarsStore.com, you are supporting InfoWars itself. We know that this is a critical time for our country. country. We know that we have one of the most important elections, if not the most important election of all time, coming up this November. And so by getting Survival Shield X3 from InfoWarsStore.com, not only are you supporting your health and your body's ability to detoxify itself and power its thyroid system, but you are supporting InfoWars and keeping InfoWars on the air. So go to InfoWarsStore.com right now, get Survival Shield X3, support your thyroid health, detoxify your body, keep InfoWars on the air, and frankly, save humanity.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
Back down.
You have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
You always talk about how I don't have the black support. Come on, give me a break. Come with me. Watch. Watch.
I got a lot of, hairy legs that turn, that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down. So it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I love kids jumping on my lap. If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
I don't care if he's pooped his pants.
My butt's been white.
I don't care if he can't put a sentence together.
The total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more Border Patrol and more asylum officers.
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either.
Show me he can't do the job, and then I'll say, okay, maybe it's time to go. Yeah, Biden had a bad day, but this guy couldn't tell the truth if it split his lip.
What did Trump do?
All right, folks, welcome back. I'm going to try to explain what's going on here. It's a little bit abstract, I guess you could say. But in that video that we just saw of Destiny frantically trying to justify his just egregious hypocrisy in every possible regard, he says, conservatives get to say any conspiracy theory. Conservatives get to have conspiracy theories about things, as if that's what he's doing, right? Which he's not. What Destiny has said about the man that died, Corey, who died on Saturday when he was shot in the head by an attempted assassin, is so much worse than anything Alex Jones has ever said about anybody. Like, Destiny's not even questioning whether it was real or not. He's just like, I'm glad that dude is dead, and I wish more people would die. So it's crazy.
The Trump supporter,
yeah.
We're all glad that the gunman's dead.
Yeah, of course.
And that's okay. It's okay to be cool with that.
Yeah, of course. No. Yeah, Destiny is just openly celebrating the death of this fire chief father who was shielding his wife and daughter when his head was taken off. So they get this warped perspective of what we do here. And everybody knows. If you watch InfoWars, you know. If it's a public event, I was going to say there's like a 50-50% chance that we'll question it, but it's not a thing of chance. It's whether the official story makes sense or not. If the official story makes sense, we'll get up and we'll tell you the official story and we'll say, yeah, this all adds up. We checked it out and this seems like what actually happened. If there's gaps and suspicious activity and things being covered up and people not giving us the truth, then we ask questions about it and we question it. But to these people, their perspective is that these crazy right-wing conspiracy theorists just question everything and don't believe anything, and it's projection on their part. But it's their warped view of what we do. So we see things not adding up. We see evidence of a false flag. That's why we talk about events being fake, because there's evidence to it. That's why we talk about the election being stolen, because we saw it with our own eyes, and we have the audio of them training to do it. And we have the statistical evidence that proves that this couldn't have happened legitimately. We have the vote counts that exceed the count of registered voters. We have evidence after evidence after evidence. That's what we're going on. Since these people, the leftists, aren't shown that evidence, then we sound crazy. It sounds like we're just questioning something because we don't like what happened politically. So they take that belief and that you know, perspective they have, where they just think we're crazy, and they just think, well, then we can do this too. And so because they don't want the assassination of Trump to be real, that's why they're questioning it. They don't have any evidence. They don't have any actual suspicious things from the – I mean, there are. It's right-wing people that are actually picking out the suspicious elements of this. The left-wingers just want it to not be real, so they're saying it's not real because they think that's what we do. So that then they do it, right? This is kind of hard to explain, but that's where we're at. That's where we're at this point. And just to illustrate this, AI could not put this together. The genius of the highest caliber, the finest political parody artist in existence, could not come up with this post by a Redditor. It's too good. It's too expressive of the problems with the liberals. I was going to say with the political divide. It's not the political divide. It's them. No, it's all them, actually. It's all purely them. This person says, he's talking about, I guess, Jack Black. Talking about this Jack Black reversal, where they apologized for, you know, calling for the death of the former president. F this. I'm saying it. No matter how downvoted it will be, Trump should have died on that stage. It's crazy how many people think it's a nuanced opinion that, quote, I disagree with violence fundamentally in any circumstance. I feel like most people don't recognize how effing dangerous a second Trump presidency would be. The world is quite literally on the brink of another huge, maybe even world war. Electing this blubbering, senile con man will not help, not one bit. He would only worsen an already very, very bad situation. His sentiment towards other dictators are terrifying, to say the least. The smarter ones, Putin, for example, but Xi Jinping also, will use a weak USA to their advantage. Like, it's just this one paragraph alone, and this whole thing goes on for pages, right? Like, I can't read everything. But let's just take a look at this one paragraph. See if we can't untangle the madness that we find here. He's talking about how we're on the brink of World War III. Do you think it ever enters into his mind that that situation only arose after Joe Biden got into office? Does he know that Trump didn't start any wars and, in fact, put the kibosh on wars with Syria and the war in Ukraine during his presidency? Does he realize that if Trump had been not impeached the first time and allowed to actually investigate Ukraine, that we probably would have avoided this war entirely? Does he understand temporal continuity? Does he understand that the dangerous situation he's decrying is entirely the fault of Joe Biden, who, by the way, is a, quote, senile con man? This is the thing. So to these people, Trump is the warmonger president and the senile one. Okay? This is just how pure, how unadulterated their projection is. It is a total 100% complete inversion of reality. But he goes on, and this is a really, really subtle cognitive dissonance. In this post, this person posting this is talking about Trump's attitudes towards other dictators. And he says, quote, to say the least, the smarter ones, Putin, for example, will use a weak USA to their advantage. Now, if you were to find the quote that is most often cited as Trump being complimentary or soft on dictators like Putin, it would be that he called Putin smart. Okay, that's the evidence that they have. So he calls Putin smart? Okay, but this person in their own post just called Putin smart. Quote, one of the smarter ones, Putin, for example. Like this, again, this is how far removed they are from reality. Trump calls Putin smart, and this person says, see, he's soft on dictators, and Putin is smart, so he'll take advantage of that. It's literal insanity. Okay, folks? And it just goes on and on. I mean, literally, we could pick apart every single... I could spend the entire show on this one post. He says, the domestic situation is even worse. Greedflation is rampant. Greedflation. So everybody knows inflation is the consequence of government policy, 100%. And then the Democrats just know that their followers are so utterly manipulatable, brainwashed, are willing to be led around by lies, that they just blame corporations and everybody just buys it. And they just come up with a new word, greedflation, as if that has anything to do with the fact that groceries are four times more expensive than they were 2 years ago. The middle class is dwindling in numbers everywhere around the world, but people are occupied with culture war BS, and our capitalist overlords are directly benefiting from our complacency. And he goes on to describe how Trump's supporters are, you know, super brainwashed. But then he says, you know, he's trying to make himself a dictator, which is really dangerous, especially with this Supreme Court packed with vile demons. His core supporters are also brainwashed. It's like they're in a cult. So this guy just unthinkingly repeats talking points that the Democrats really just came up with like a week ago. And he repeats them as if they're his own thoughts, and then calls Trump supporters brainwashed, then calls for violence, and then calls them violent, and says he should be killed, and then says Trump did a coup by protesting the results of the election. I mean, I'm just trying to get across here. The people that we're dealing with are so far removed from reality, are so blinded by the lies from the Democrats. That's almost impossible to like imagine. It's like, what would it be like to be this person? What would it be like to think that corporations have caused inflation and that Joe Biden is the peace president and Trump will start the dangerous war? What is it like to think that the sky is red and that water is dry and the gravity makes things fall up? Like it just, what would it be like to be this disconnected? And is it even possible to bring them back? I don't know. I don't know if it is, but we're going to try. We're trying our hardest in this futile attempt to bring light to the darkness of the liberal mind. But we will keep trying to do it as long as you go to InfoWarsStore.com. Go check out InfoWars MD, Ageless Collagen. Try Ageless Collagen. See what it can do for you. InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air. Save InfoWars Mega Sale. Stay tuned. The Alex Jones Show begins in 90 seconds.
If, by Rudyard Kipling. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies. Or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good, nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two impostors just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools, if you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings, nor lose the common touch. If neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but a none too much. If you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And, which is more, you'll be a man, my son.